it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with The Bald-Faced Truth.
Mike Remmers is such a good story. Such a great story. Undrafted free agent with the Broncos. Picked up, practice squad, released, made starting lineup, then found himself playing in a Super Bowl. He's now, with his first season with the Kansas City Chiefs, he's also got a growing family. And he's in one of the best barbecue places in the world, and he's joining us now. Mike Remmers with us. You're such a good story, man. I know you don't walk around saying that to yourself, but every time we bring you on, I'm like, man, this is a self-made player. It's got to feel good for you to look around and go, hey, I've not only did you make the league, you stuck in the league.
Yeah, no, it's pretty surreal. I mean, I feel very fortunate. In my ninth season right now, and honestly, I never thought I would even make it this far, you know, let alone play in the NFL at all. So it's just been a dream come true, really. So just been enjoying the moment as much as I possibly can. I know it doesn't last forever, and just feel totally blessed. I've seen a lot of good players that, you know, don't even get the opportunity to play in the NFL, or they get the opportunity and don't make the most of it, and they're out in a year. So just trying to make the most of it.
As you looked around the stadium last weekend, you saw Justin Herbert on the other side getting his first taste. It was a surreal moment, I think, for a lot of people who watched him. First of all, what is it like to play in an empty stadium and hear that silence when you're out there trying to play?
Yeah, that was honestly one of the weirdest games I've ever been a part of in my life. First of all, you go to this beautiful stadium. I mean, it's honestly probably the best stadium I've ever been to in my life. Like, it is unreal how amazing the stadium is. And then to see it just completely empty. And over the TV, they were playing, you know, crowd noise for the fans watching on TV, but there was no crowd noise being played in the stadium. So, I mean, it felt like a scrimmage. It was the weirdest feeling ever. I mean, you could literally hear the coaches on the other team yelling at their players. Like, it was just such a really weird, you know, kind of a flat game. You know, I think that, you know, we learned, the Chiefs definitely learned, you know, that's how important it is to bring your own energy to these events with no fans. I mean, it was just seemed kind of flat at first. And then after halftime, we came back out with some better energy and made the most of the second half.
Yeah, it's interesting because you talk to players and they'll say, you know, I'll say, do you hear the crowd? And they'll say, I don't really hear it. It's kind of white noise in the background. But when the crowd's gone, it really is like a practice atmosphere. And you probably, as a player, since you were a kid playing, that you didn't have that kind of atmosphere in the stadium.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was weird. Just running out for warm-ups and, like, not being booed or, like, kind of cheered by fans was, like, that alone was, like, really weird. You're kind of like, what is going on? It felt like a practice. It felt like a spring game kind of atmosphere. It was really strange, so... the first week one, we played in Kansas City where we're allowed to have 16,000 fans, and that felt somewhat normal. You know, we had a great atmosphere there. The other team actually had to go on silent count, which is a huge advantage. So that didn't really, you know, warm us up to this last week. So I think we got to figure it out now, though.
What was it like, you know, to and maybe you're focused on your job, of course, but you're aware of Justin Herbert. You're aware that you guys both grew up in this state and you've got ties in this state. Do you take a peek at what they're doing on offense, or are you totally focused on what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty focused on what I'm doing, what needs to happen. definitely watched him a little bit, though. You know, and I love beating people that play for Oregon, so that always makes me happy. a lot of guys at home were rooting for him, but it's always good being a guy that played for Oregon.
We're talking to Mike Remmers, former Oregon State offensive lineman, now with the Kansas City Chiefs. You got three babies now. I mean, you got Brock, you got Wyatt, you got Layla. Yeah. I mean, that is you and Kelly have a household now.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I can't believe it. so lucky, so fortunate to have an amazing family, for sure.
I remember when it was just a dog.
I know, right? It's changed a lot. That's the first step for every relationship. You know, you start with a dog, kind of ease into it. Honestly, I think the dog's harder than the kids, but so far, at least.
This time has been weird for everybody. A lot of people working from home, a lot of people trying to figure out if they're going to play. Do you feel safe? I mean, do you feel like the testing protocols, I'm curious from a typical NFL player, how secure, how safe do you feel it is to be out there practicing and in proximity to people?
Oh, yeah. No, I feel totally safe. I mean, since I've been in Kansas City, I've been tested for the coronavirus every single day I've been here. And so has all the people around me. I feel totally safe. And I wear masks and stuff like that when, you're around people that have not been tested or whatever. So you're obviously being safe there, washing your hands and doing all the protocols. When you're out there, like, I'm not too concerned about it when we're out there.
The career that you've had, what do you know now that maybe you wish you'd have known as a rookie or a guy that was undrafted trying to make the league?
I had no idea, like, going into college, how many guys bounce around from team to team. And I always thought that, like, because whenever you think of, like, any NFL team, you always think of their star player that's been there for multiple years, you know, franchise player. You don't think about the other guys around him that have, you know, been coming in and out every year. So that would have been one thing, just like, you know, get ready to be moving a lot, because freaking move like two times a year at least. So it seems like I've been moving a lot. So just that, just staying patient with things and how important the practice squad is. I think it's tough because your goal is to be on the active roster. So you get if you get on practice squad, you're kind of let down. But just having your foot in the door and being able to practice against starters every day, that helped me tremendously. So just how important it is just being on the practice squad and just staying at it and continue to grow and develop and become a better player. I think that it's easy for people to get complacent and feel like they can't get any better, but you can always improve. And if you're not proving, you're going to be gone pretty quick.
Mike Remmers with us, Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman. Patrick Mahomes gets a lot of attention, sensational player. What's he like in a locker room setting, a team meeting, a huddle?
Oh, man, he is awesome. I mean, he is in the locker room. I mean, he's just another guy. I mean, the guy loves sports trivia. He is incredibly, you know, gifted when it comes to all his memorizations of all these teams and stats and all this. I mean, he's pretty impressive, actually. I mean, especially for me, because I know nothing, none of that. So I was very impressed with it. But, no, he is awesome, though. He's a great captain, great leader, someone that pushes every single person on the team. Like I said, this last game, we kind of came out flat, and at halftime, he just brought everyone up. He goes, listen, like, no sad faces. We need to, you know, turn this around, get some energy. We need to create our own energy and come out the second half. And honestly, I feel like he inspired, you know, not just the offense, but the defense and special teams. He's awesome. He's a great teammate.
It's interesting because, you know, there's a relationship that happens between a quarterback and offensive lineman. It's well documented. And how hard is it to create camaraderie and culture when you start camp sort of in a bubble? Does that help it, or is that an obstacle?
Yeah. I'm pretty much the only new guy on the offensive line here. So, you know, Pat and O-line here have been meshing very well. Obviously, last year had a lot of success. So, you know, that's been very easy transition for those guys. It's kind of harder for me, you know, first talking and meeting to everyone over Zoom and then not having OTAs and then going right into the season. But we're all in our little bubbles here. So I think it's just during the season you're at the facility all day every day, and you can't do anything but bond with the guys next to you. I mean, you figure out something to do, but I feel like we've been making the most of missing OTAs and coming into camp, and just I feel like just picking up where they left off last year.
Yeah, it's always you probably look back on where you've been, but your connection to Oregon State, how connected do you feel to the Beavers program? Are they doing enough of that outreach to you at this point, or is that something that maybe happens more after you're done playing as you look back and look back at where you started?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty busy right now. I really look forward to the days when I'm done playing and going to Corvallis and going to tailgate and watching the games. Trust me, they dream about doing that all the time. but yeah, I love Oregon State. I love the Beavs, and I'm teammates with Matt Moore now. So we talk Beaver football all the time in Corvallis and local boys and all the fun stuff we did in Corvallis. So I feel totally attached. I love it there.
I know that you've lived in some different places and played in Minnesota, and of course I mentioned Denver and Carolina and other places, but you got some barbecue in Kansas City. How often are you eating barbecue?
Oh man, I had barbecue for lunch today. It's kind of my default, and I've been just trying to find the best barbecue out here, and I feel pretty confident with my answers. Everyone, when you come out here and you're like, hey, where's the best barbecue? Everyone would be like, okay, this place has got ribs, this place has got burnt ends, this place has got all the best sides, but it's kind of hard to find one spot that does it all really well. And I went to a new spot today, LC's Barbecue. It's good, not great. There's definitely some better barbecue spots out here. If you're in town, Joe's is the place to go, man.
Yep.
Half gas station, half barbecue joint.
I've been there, and I got that Z-Man sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
You stand outside, and then you go through, and you're right. You could buy, Frisbees and then get a sandwich. It is a gas station. Help people understand who's never been there what a visit to Joe's Kansas City Barbecue is like.
Yeah, I mean, you walk in and half of it looks like your standard kind of inside of a gas station there, and you can go and get gas and everything, and then the other half is a restaurant. I mean, it's really, really strange, but man, their barbecue is good. Those ribs are probably the best ribs I've ever had, I would say, from there. And I'm huge into Kansas City barbecue, though. There's about three or four other spots that are just as good, but I think I give Joe's the nod. I think that one's the best one.
Who's the runner-up place if we're talking barbecue right now?
Oh yeah, number two, I would say, is this place called Q39. It is unreal. They have on their menu, it's actually called like the world's best wings, and they are, if not, they are. I mean, they're so dang good. They actually fry them. They deep fry them. They smoke them. And they cook them in the oven too. So there's like three different ways that they cook it just for one batch of ribs, and it is outstanding. You can't go wrong there. And then the burnt ends. I mean, I'm wanting barbecue for dinner tonight. I mean, I just had barbecue. Now we're talking about it.
Remmers, your career now, you're talking about 8+ years in the league. You've made it. Was there a moment when, because I remember we had you on when you were starting your first game. You're off the practice squad. You're coming into your first game, and we've had you on, prior to the Super Bowl, all that. Is there a moment where you looked around and went, okay, I made it. I'm an NFL player, or can you afford to do that in the league?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. If you ever get complacent thinking that, hey, this is the best I'm going to be, there's a younger guy that's cheaper, and, they'll replace you pretty dang quick. So I don't know. I always think right now, if I were to get cut or whatever, I'd be done playing football. It would be sad. I'd be sad. I'm definitely going to be sad for that day. But just being able to say I played, 9 years has been unbelievable. Like I said, I never thought I was going to make it 1 year, let alone, 9 years. So I've every single every single season, you know, I always try to enjoy it as much as I possibly can, and don't take things for granted, and never get complacent with anything in life. Always striving to be the best, and that's just kind of what the Chiefs football is all about here too, is always striving for a perfect game. I mean, it's very unlikely it's going to happen, but that's our goal, is to every single play to do it the best you possibly can, and just continue to grow.
Now, did you buy a house last year?
Here in Oregon. In Oregon, yeah. Yeah, I got a house in Oregon.
Now, did you buy the house that you grew up in? Is that what you did?
Yeah. No, yeah. I lived in it early in the 90s, and so my parents sold it to a family, and they raised their kids in that house, and then this last year, they had it on the market, and I was like, hey, let's just go back. Let's just go walk to the house. I'm trying to remember exactly what it all looked like, and I just wanted to go see it. And I was walking through, and I was like, I need to buy this house. Like, we need to raise our family here. This is the perfect place. And so we made offer, and fortunately, and the family that my parents sold it to sold it back to me. So it's a really cool story, and it's amazing. We absolutely love living there, and I daydream about it literally every day. Can't wait to get back.
What was it about? Is it the nostalgia of that? Because I think everybody remembers like their childhood bedroom, and then once you go back, like, you know, you're 8 years old again.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, it brings back a ton of memories, and I just remember how much I loved it when I was younger there. And I think it's just the perfect place to raise a family. I know that my family is going to be so happy there. And it was kind of weird, you know, when you first get there and you're like, oh my God, yeah, you kind of, things are start coming back. Oh, I remember doing this here, this there. And then like, but we've made so many more new memories there that like, I remember it now, you know, I don't always like think about, you know, when I was younger here. Now it's like, I have all these great memories, you know, raising my family there. So it's just a super special place, and I can't wait to get back there.
Was there anything different, or was it pretty much the same house you grew up in?
Yeah, they remodeled a couple things. But yeah, overall, it's basically the exact same house. So it's awesome.
I love that. You must have had great memories there and a great childhood, and, you know, credit to your parents. They created a place that is a fond memory to you. I mean, and that's what you want for your kids, right? Yeah. It's what we all want.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's it. I remember how much I loved it when I was younger, and my kids enjoy it half as much as I did. It's going to be great.
Mike be Remmers, awesome. I appreciate you. Good luck this week. You got another game, and, you know, keep this thing going. And a lot of people... I know Oregon State fans especially rooting for you and rooting for the Chiefs because you're there.
Absolutely. I appreciate all the support. Everyone, really, really do appreciate it. Go Bees.
Mike Remmers, there he is. Kansas City Chiefs. His childhood home. I love that story. We could talk barbecue. We can talk football. But for parents out there, and, you know, I'm a parent. I've got three daughters. You know, for him to have that kind of association with his childhood home here in Oregon, to go, oh, it's for sale. I need to own it. I need to raise my kids in it one day. That says so much about the childhood that he had. Leave it here. You got the Bald Faced Truth statewide. I love that story from Mike Remmers. Fascinating stuff. A guy in the league a long time. Good story. Self-made. Worked so hard. Now everybody, all my friends are texting me their favorite barbecue places in Kansas City. And I love that. Keep that coming. Alabama Adriana, as you hear Mike Remmers talk about his childhood home, he goes back and he buys the house that he grew up in the Portland metropolitan area, because he wants to raise his kids there. Love that.
I love that, too. It made me think about my childhood home and, like, the trees outside that I would climb and, like, going back there to visit. I don't think I would ever buy it again, so I do think that that is, like, a very special connection that he wants to go back. He obviously had a great childhood there that makes him want to go back and do that with his own family.
I remember the bad room that I had as a kid. My parents still live in the house, and when I go back home, it's surreal to go down the hallway. My dad has turned what was my bedroom into kind of his office. And so in that room, he's got his desk, a computer, and he has a bunch of baseball gloves because he now collects baseball gloves, like old baseball gloves. So it's just like, you know, piles and piles of baseball gloves. But I always, as I walk down that hallway, transform into, you know, from my 40s to my 30s to my 20s to my teens. And by the time I get to the doorway, I'm like 9, 10, 11 years old. And I turn the corner and I'm always surprised that my Sports Illustrated covers that I had pinned on the walls, because I had a subscription to Sports Illustrated. I would take the cover off every week and I would staple it to the wall. And pretty soon, over a course of a couple of few years, the entire bedroom was Sports Illustrated covers, like wall to wall, like from the floor to the ceiling. Every wall was covered with a Sports Illustrated cover. I was surrounded by Bo Jackson and Muhammad Ali and Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky and Joe Montana and every single cover. So much so that when I went to college and I took the covers off, because I use a stapler, I took the covers off. The walls looked like Swiss cheese because there were so many staple holes in the walls. My parents said, like, here you go. Here's a can of spackle. Fill in all those pinholes over the walls. What was your childhood bedroom like, Judah Newby?
Well, it had this like old threadbare red carpet when we moved in. I played imaginary tackle football with myself in every single part of the house. That's how I spent my time, including my room. Dartboard and a trash can with the bottom hollowed out. That was my first basketball hoop inside my bedroom, too. That was when I was young. Very fond memories.
Yeah, I remember that. Adriana talked about the trees that are outside. I think things like that, too. Like, it's interesting to go back as a grown-up and look at your backyard.
Oh, yeah.
I remember playing hide-and-seek with my brothers and sisters, and we had the chimney, because we had this house that was built like in the early 70s, ranch style house, right? And so the chimney was built like kind of on the side of the house. In my hiding spot, when we did, like, my go-to hiding spot if we're going to play hide and seek was to climb the side of the chimney. And there was this little kind of cove on one side of the house where I could hide, but like, you know, on the chimney, but against the house, the stucco house that you can never forget the feel of stucco when you're trying to hide and play hide and seek. But I remember it being so high up, like climbing up there, that people, like your brothers and sisters, would walk by without looking up and they wouldn't see you. I go back as an adult and I realize it wasn't that high up. It was only about 6 feet up to hide, to stand on that ledge that was on the side of the house. And it felt like it was 30 feet in the air when you're a kid. Like, you climb up there and people, you're seeing the tops of people's heads as they walk by. They never even look up. That was my go-to, you know, hide and seek spot. To this day, I would still use it.
Oh.
But I think, you know, it was, I never got found there, but I realized I was only at about 5.5 feet in the air. It wasn't that high.
So are your parents still at the house that you grew up in?
They are.
Yeah.
And weird things, like there was an oak tree that my dad and I planted in the backyard when I was like 5 or 6 years old. It's giant now. It's huge. And I tell my parents, it's a lot, because we grew up a little bit rural. We were about a mile from the nearest stoplight in town. We didn't have cable TV because of that, because cable wouldn't reach. It was like so far out, you know. But I tell my parents now are in their 70s, and I look at them and I'm like, that is a lot of stuff to manage in the backyard. They have about an acre. That's a lot to manage when you're in your 70s. But my dad doesn't think so. He likes getting out in the yard. He likes working. Got stung by a bee the other day, and he likes being out there. It's just, you know, it's his area to go and get away from people.
You've mentioned before how, you know, you'd have to change the antenna on the roof to get reception.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
that was totally my childhood. I would always get on the roof with my dad. One of us would be on the phone, you know, watching the TV, telling the other on the other phone up, fixing the antenna on the roof if we were getting reception. Like, they still got an antenna down there. God bless them.
Yeah, my now, you know, I don't know, it was a big deal. Once upon a time, my parents got a rotor for that antenna.
Oh.
And for people who don't know, back in the day, you had to have an antenna either right on top of your TV or on the roof that would get your reception even for the local channels. Nowadays, everybody has 300 channels. But my job, Judah, was the same as your job. My yep. parents, I would never tell my kids to do this. I was probably 10 years old, 11 years old. My parents would be like, climb up on the roof and put your hands on the antenna. It might be raining. It might there might be thunder out there. And I'd be looking around going, is this a safe place for me to be? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And my mom would be on the deck outside the house. My dad would be in the living room. My mom was the relay. And when the station came in, my dad would say, right there. So my mom would relay it. Or go back a foot, you know. And you had to do that to get the 49er game on Sunday on CBS. Because that was the station that was tough to get to come in with the antenna. CBS, Pat Summerall, John Madden on the call. Really good stuff. I remember that. Nowadays, that's something I should make my kids go on the roof just for nostalgia.
Exactly.
All right, here's what we're going to do. You're only four, but get up on the roof. I know it's two stories. Never mind. Get back up there and get to the roof. All right, I want you to leave it here. Coming up, we'll talk to
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.